In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. And we are commenting on the Gospel of St. John, chapter 2. We were discussing the miracle happened in Cana of Galilee. And it was written by St. John, the beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. So the importance of this event, not just like any miracle, because it was the start of signs before the eyes of his disciples. So the disciples started to see the truth. He is not only like a teacher, the rabbi, but he is the Son of God. And they started to acknowledge the meaning of John the Baptist, who said, they said, the Lamb of God. This is the true light given to us. After this, he went down to Capernaum. Capernaum was another village, a famous village in the area of Galilee, where the Peter, John, James, and Andrew were living. He, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. So they stayed for a few days in Capernaum, after finishing the celebration of the wedding of Cana of Galilee. By the way, in our church, the Coptic Orthodox Church, love this story. And this story is one of the minor feasts, great feast of the Lord Christ, because this sign of miraculous transformation of the water to wine is the start of understanding the idea of the sacramental change of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. The sacramental change happened in the water of baptism with the power of the Holy Spirit to be the holy water giving birth to children of God. So this sacramental, mysterious transformation started to appear in the first sign given by the Lord in the wedding of Cana in Galilee. Also, the intercession of Saint Mary was there. And we believe so much in the intercession of Saint Mary. She is presenting our needs to the Lord all the time. And the Lord considers so much her prayers. And that is exactly what happened in the first miracle. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem with the feasts. The Passover, Lord himself and the disciples and also his mother had to go to Jerusalem to present their sacrifices as given in the law of Moses. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. In that day, in that period of time, you know, the altar of Solomon was full of, you know, bad things happening. They were, you know, changing money because of the Jew people coming from different cities. They do not have enough money, and so they have to exchange some of their money. And also they were offering like doves and sheep to buy for the Jew people coming to the feast. And that was in the holy place of God. And that was totally against the commandment given by Moses and repeated by David in the books of the Old Testament. When he had made a wipe of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. So Christ was very strong at that minute. He drove them out of the temple. He wanted to clean the temple out of all these bad things happening. With the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers. Because money, you know, usually makes people think of being greedy and cheating each other. So he like poured out the changers and drove out the animals out of the temple, poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves take these things away, do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. So that's the meaning. They made the house of God like a merchandise. So that's the house of God should be full of prayer, should be full of purity, should be full of love giving, but not with money exchanging and selling many things. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So the disciples found out that what is happening before their eyes was written in the Old Testament, that the Messiah will come with the zeal of God. "Zeal for your house had eaten me up." So because this is the house of God and this is the real God, he is busy with his house. He will never accept these bad things to happen in his house. So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show us to us since you do these things?" They were not happy with what's happening. Because the priest, the Pharisee, and the heads of the place, you know, got many benefits of this money exchanging and selling animals. They had their own part. So they used to get many benefits in these feasts. So when he did it this way, he was attacking their benefit. So they said, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" As if they are telling him, "Who are you? How can you do this? You are not the Messiah. You are not the head of this place. You are not the king of Israel. So you shouldn't do this." Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." It was very strange to say it this way, because this temple was made like 950 years before with the hands of Solomon and with the advice of his father David, and also David supplied the place with fortune in order to help his son to build the altar. And many years later, after the exile of many of the Jew people to Babylon, when they went back, they started to repair what happened in the altar. And also in the last years of Herod, like many years before the generation of Christ, they started to repair the altar again, and it took them many, many years. So they took it literally that he is speaking about the altar before their eyes. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years, that's the period of repairing the temple in the time of Herod, to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" So they were not happy with the words, and you know, because these people were not simple people, they will take his answer, you know, as a proof that this man is against the altar, and he's planning to destroy the altar. And this will be one of the, you know, sentences in his judgment before his crucifixion. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Now John the evangelist understood the meaning. Maybe in the day giving, you know, attending this event, the disciples could not understand the full meaning. But years later, with the Holy Spirit and with the teaching of the Lord Christ, they could understand all the meanings. And when it comes to 3 days, it always direct our attention to the resurrection and the temple. We are the temple of God now, because the Holy Spirit dwelling into our hearts, and the original temple of God is Christ himself. God incarnate is the role model of our temples. So when he said it, destroy this temple, he was, you know, he meant himself. He was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. From the first day of his mission, he was always speaking about his death and his resurrection. Remember in the story of Cana of Galilee, he mentioned the hour. The hour meant to be the crucifixion day and the redemption story. And now after, you know, what happened in the temple, he mentioned again the third day, the 3 days of his death and resurrection. So Christ was always busy pointing at the minute of redemption, because he came to save man. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name. Now many followed him because they believed in his name. They believed this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is the prophet expected to come for our salvation. This is the one who John the Baptist witnessed for him. So many followers, they increased in their number. Many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. So he did many other signs in Jerusalem. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. Although many people followed him because of the signs, maybe much more the number of people followed him because of his teaching. People love to see miracles. People love to see his signs. So many followed him. But for Christ, he did not, you know, trust their faith completely, because he knew the nature of man. Man, you know, cannot easily gain the full trust in God. That's why Christ knew the weakness of the heart of man. He knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Christ, the Lord incarnate, is, you know, he knew very much the nature of man, the weakness of man. And when it comes to the faith, he knew that very few people can trust him completely as God. So when it comes to the day of his crucifixion, all these followers will run away because they cannot stand before the judgment of Pilate and the heads of the altar. They're just happy seeing the miracles. Chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things, signs that you do unless God is with him." There was like a synagogue formed by 70 elders of the Jew community, heads of the church of the Old Testament. Nicodemus, one of the 70. So he was such a famous man, a respected one, well known by everyone. He was a rabbi, he was a Pharisee, and he was such a scientific man, knowing by heart many of the words in the Old Testament, expecting as other Jews to see the Messiah one day. But he came to Jesus at night because he did not want anyone to see him speaking to the Lord. So his trust in Christ was not completed. And he is like starting to know Christ. He had seen many miracles. So he couldn't say, but Christ should be a great teacher, because he had done all these miracles, but he couldn't see him more than this. A ruler of the Jews, this man came to Jesus by night, said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." You see here that Nicodemus did not ask any questions, because it was not, you know, like for their pride, they cannot ask anyone any question. He wanted Christ to speak, to answer some of his questions, but he did not want to start questioning anything, as if I know everything. So he just beginning, you know, the dialogue saying, "You are a great teacher. No one can do signs like you." So Christ started to answer the hidden question. So he said it this way. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So most probably the question in the heart of Nicodemus was about the kingdom of God. Because these people studied so much the prophets, and the prophecies were all about the kingdom of God. So they had many questions. What about the kingdom of God? Kingdom of heaven. What it looks like? And what is the way to be in the kingdom of heaven? But he couldn't answer a question. So Christ answered the question. He said it clearly, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now you can see clearly that the idea of being born again, to be a child of God, which was mentioned in the first chapter, is an important doctrine in Christianity. All people should be born again to be children of God. And no one could be considered a member in the kingdom of God unless he will be born again of God. So he made it clearly. Christ answered the hidden question saying, if you want to catch kingdom of heaven, if you want to be a member in eternal life, you have to be born again. There is no other way. Because, you know, being a man, Adam's like, it will end up in this earth, in sand. But, you know, being God's like, following God, you will be considered his child, and in this way you will catch the kingdom of heaven. It seemed like the answer was not satisfying to Nicodemus. That's why Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus started to think by his logic, and he couldn't trust the word of Christ. And that's a problem with many people. When they feel the pride, when they trust their mind, when they feel that they know better than God, they cannot accept the truth given by God. And that's the problem of Nicodemus. We will see it later on. Glory to God. Amen.